Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things, for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So, Father, we want to know what this means. We want to walk in wisdom. We want to walk in your ways. And God, we want to worship you the way you desire to be worshiped. We want to follow you the way you want to be followed. We want to honor you the way you want to be honored. And so as we look at the scriptures this morning, God, would you speak to us? Lord, would you shape us? Would you mold us? Would you break the things in us that need to be broken off? And Lord, would you build in us the things that need to be built up? In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, what I really wanted to do was talk about worship, for obvious reasons, you know. Worship is something that's always been near and dear to my heart. And by a show of hands, how many of you have had a moment in worship, not here or anywhere specific, but a moment in worship where you felt like God was connecting to you personally? Show of hands. Almost everyone in the room. God does something special in worship, specifically in singing, in our participatory singing to God. God does something. He meets us. And we're going to take a look from Genesis to the New Testament, why and what that looks like, because it's important. It's an important part of our Christian experience. It's an important part of how God has made us. It is an important part of how God has designed the church. And so it's something that's near and dear to my heart, because when I got saved during an afterglow at a camp. I got saved while the worship leader was singing Heart of Worship for the second time, because they ran out of songs, so they started over again. And it was the second time they sung it, and I felt like God was meeting me there. And in that moment, God became real to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me personally. And I wasn't just a faceless member of a crowd. I became someone who he knew, someone who he was talking to, someone who he was speaking to. And so I'm not going to... So when I was preparing for this, every time I would kind of get a point settled, a new one would pop up. And I had this computer screen, two screens of a computer screen filled up with notes. And I'm like, oh, geez. This is a lot, and I'm not going to try to condense 3 days of talking into 15 minutes. So what I did is I picked a few things. So this is not an exhaustive talk on worship, but I'm just going to focus on some things that are near and dear to my heart, and things that are easy for us to get right, and things are easy for us to connect to the Lord. So we're just going to focus on a few things. The first thing I want to point out is that the church was designed to be edified through expressions of song and music. That's how God has made the church. It's how he has made us. And here we see this in Ephesians. You see, he doesn't say, sing these songs to emotionally connect to me. He said, I want you to sing these songs as a part of you walking in wisdom. It's part of walking circumspectly. It's a part of walking with the Lord. And look what he says. He does a contrast here. He says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. But he said, be filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And he said here, speaking to one another, the result of being filled with the Spirit is to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's very specific, right? It's very specific. So one of the rabbit trails that you can really go down is what's a psalm and what's a hymn and what's a spiritual song. And if you did an internet search on that, you can read all day long. And everyone has something slightly different to say. So what we're going to say is what he's saying. He's reiterating the idea that we're supposed to be singing songs. We are supposed to be singing songs corporately, and we're supposed to be singing songs personally. And something that's interesting here is psalms. We know what psalms are because there's a book of psalms. And then so what's a hymn? And so they did not have Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, when this was written, right? So the hymns that we think of today are not the hymns they're talking about. We know that there's at least two occasions in Matthew where Jesus sings a hymn with the disciples before they go to the mountain, where they're going to go and do stuff. And so hymns are mentioned. And so a hymn, if you look it up, in the context of Bible usage, a hymn is a song about God and giving him praise and glory. That's what a hymn is in the context of where we see it in the Bible. And then here he ends, he doesn't just say a hymn, he says, and spiritual songs. And so the word here for spiritual is pneumaticos. And it's what it means is it means, and it's two words, it's song, it's solo, and pneumaticos. And what that means, it's a song of the Spirit. It's a song of the Spirit. And so what does that mean, a song of the Spirit? And it's a song that it has the Holy Spirit breathed in it. It's a spontaneous song that has the Holy Spirit breathed in it. That's the implication here, is that's a song that is just, it's inspired by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so he says, these are the things that we want you to do, is to edify one another, to build up one another, to speak to one another in songs, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That is super hard to say. I've been trying to get that down all week, and it's a different combination every time I say it. So when I mess that up, just know what I'm, just refer back. Refer back to your notes. So the result of being filled with the Spirit is the edification of the body of Christ through songs, psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so here's you're thinking what I'm thinking. My heart doesn't have melodies. My heart is out of tune. It's off pitch. I don't sing songs on key. Let me ask you this. When you see a kid singing a song, are they generally on key? No. I got three. My kids have this thing they do where they put on headphones, and then they'll sing a song, like they'll turn the headphones all the way up so it's really loud, and they'll be singing. And so the song they love to sing is a song called Rattle by Elevation. And they're like, this is the sound of dry bones rattling. You know, that's how they sing it. And it's so beautiful and cute. It sounds awful. It sounds like cats, you know. But it doesn't sound like cats to me. It probably sounds like cats to the neighbors. But it doesn't sound like it to me. To me, it's beautiful and it's amazing. And God the Father is so tender-hearted towards us. He's so loving. Any offering you bring him, he's not going to kick it to the curb. Dude, my kids draw me all kinds of pictures. And sometimes they're terrible. They're just scribbles and colors or just like one line. They're like, Dad, look at this thing I drew. I'm like, it's a line. They're like, no, it's my art. They want to bring it to me, and they're like, Dad, look at what I made for you. It's for you. And so I hung them up at my work in my office. I hung them up. And to me, they're beautiful. To passersby, maybe not so much. But to me, they're beautiful. And our worship is beautiful, no matter how it sounds. Our worship is beautiful to the Lord, no matter how it sounds. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The result of Christ dwelling in us is the body being gently corrected and instructed in his ways. Now, by our hands, we were all like, yeah, I had an experience where I felt like God was speaking to me in worship. But how many times has God maybe changed something in your heart during worship? Shelly, my wife, she's the only one. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't ask for hands, but thank you. Thank you. But for me, God has changed my heart in times of worship. God has changed my heart. And here's how I have had, thank you for this water. I have had so many times when my heart was not right towards a person. Not maybe towards the, well, if your heart's not right towards a person, it's not right towards the Lord. But I've had a time when my heart was not right towards a person. And in a time of worship, I felt like God was connecting me to me and saying, you are not right with that person. It's time to be right. And God has corrected me. And it didn't feel like he was beating me over the head. It felt like he was just nudging me in the right direction. Like I was, you know, like I'm going to use kids as references a lot because I have three and it's most of my illustrations now. I'm too tired. I don't do anything else. I play with them and I sleep. But, you know, it's like when your kids are riding a bike or a skateboard and they veer off and I just kind of veer them back a little bit. And that's what God does to us. He just gently, he corrects us sometimes. Sometimes it's not so gentle, but in worship, a lot of times he'll gently correct us and steer us towards things that are better for us and better for our relationship between us and him. And so here in the New Testament, we've seen two examples, two portions of scripture where he's talking about singing as a means of edifying one another, as a means of building up the body of Christ and relating to one another and relating to him. And so that's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, I want to take a look back at what worship, I want to take a look at what worship does, the singing, what it accomplishes, what it does, because singing is, you guys have heard that song, this is how I fight my battles, this is how I, and it's the implication is the song is how they're fighting their battles, and that's a really good song, right? That's a really good song idea, it's really good imagery, I love that song, but what does that mean for us really? How is that practical for us? What does that do for us? What does that do? Well, we know that we don't fight against flesh and blood. Remember when Peter went and cut off Malchus's ear? He's all, I gotcha. And Jesus is like, whoa, dude, Peter, chill out. And he grabs the ear, he puts it back on Malchus. I'm sure Malchus's life was changed forever when he got his ear put back on. And Peter's just standing there with a sword like, oh, sorry, you know. But Jesus is like, that's not what we're doing right now. We're not fighting with our swords. We're fighting a spiritual battle, a battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers of the air, against the spiritual darkness in the world and of the world and from the enemy. The enemy is not disorganized. He's organized. But what we fight with is even better. Nothing can fight against the power of God in your life. And here's what I mean by that. In Joshua chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, we're not going to read the story. If we went through all the backstories, we'll be here all day. But in Joshua chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, they're marching around Jericho. And the Lord is giving him the instructions on how to topple the walls of Jericho. And what he does is he sends seven priests with seven trumpets of ram's horns ahead. And at the appointed time, they blow the horns and all of Israel shouts. And then the walls come down and they go in and take over the city. And so when the priests shouted and the horns blew, the wall that was keeping them from their victory tumbled down. And so the victory there was brought directly through the use of instruments and voices. It wasn't fighting, it wasn't punching, it wasn't kicking, it wasn't cool strategies, it was simply instruments and voices. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23, David was called in to play his instrument for Saul. The Spirit of the Lord had left Saul from his disobedience, and the Lord sent a troubling spirit to torment Saul. And what's interesting is one of Saul's advisors says, hey, I know this guy who plays an instrument really well. He plays it so good, I bet that spirit will leave you alone. And so Saul's like, do it, let's do it. And so he brings in David, and David begins to play his stringed instrument, and the spirit left. There wasn't even singing involved. There was no words. The instrument, just playing the instrument, and David's heart before the Lord was enough. He offered a skillful playing before the Lord, and that was enough to drive out the wicked spirit from the presence of Saul. That's amazing. That's just music. It's just instrumentation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 21 through 23, Jehoshaphat is going up against three armies, a superior fighting force, the armies of the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the army of Mount Seir are all coming down against Israel. And so Jehoshaphat, he inquires of the Lord what to do. And after he inquires of the Lord, he says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to send the musicians out to play and praise the Lord. And so it sounds crazy. There's three armies. And they send out these musicians. And the musicians are like, how great is our God? Sing with me. You know, and they're out there singing and playing. And then it says that it confused the enemies and that the Lord set ambushes. And all three of the armies killed each other. And then by the time Israel came, there was no one left alive. And they spent 3 days picking up all of the booty. That's the plunder, the gold, the garments, the weapons, the shields. They spent 3 days. The force was superior. It was a superior fighting force. They got victory from a superior enemy simply through praising the Lord. It says that they praised the Lord. That's what it says. They praised the Lord. That is crazy. That's insane, and it's hard to grasp that, and it's easy to... Here's how I think. Here's my thought process. The Old Testament was wild, right? The Old Testament was wild. It was so crazy and strange. But here's what we do know. We know that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You see, everything had a symbol in the Old Testament. When they built the temple, when they built the ark, when they built the Ark of the Covenant and the Most Holy Place, they weren't just building something that looked cool. Every single piece of that arrangement and all the pieces, all the lavers and the showbread and the lampstand, all of those symbolized something about Christ. The Old Testament is not simply history and information. It's everything points to the better thing, which would be Jesus. And so when we see these battles where praise brings the victory, that doesn't die out with Jesus. What that does is that points to something that's a reality for us today. That points to something that's a reality for us today. And that, what that is that songs and music and praise bring real victory in our lives. It changes something in us. It changes something in us. A while back, in the mid-2000s, it was Air One. Air One was doing this thing where they challenged you to listen to nothing but Christian music for a month. And if you guys know Air One, it's all right. It's slightly cheesy. They play the same 14 songs over and over again. But that's not the point. The point was there was a challenge there. And back then, what I listened to was not super edifying music. I listened to a lot of like Metallica, you know, like Slipknot. I listened to who else? Diecast, like a bunch of like super hard rock metal bands. Weird stuff. I listened to some worship, like some Christian hard rock that was like, you know, it didn't sound Christian at all. But that was what I listened to, and I dressed accordingly, right? Because when you're into something, you dress accordingly, and so that's what influenced my life. And then I think it was my youth pastor challenged us to listen to nothing but Christian music for the month because Air One was doing their little challenge. And I will tell you what, by the end of that month, I was dressing differently and I didn't even notice. By the end of that month, my thought process was different. At the end of that month, my joy was up. My depression was down. Things change. When you put things into your mind, things change. A quick story, true story.
One of the my coworkers is a music guy. He's not a believer, but he loves music, and one of his favorite bands is Tool. And Tool's kind of known for having like weird beats and like hard, like really technical music. And his sons are into music, and his son got into a band that was like really dark. And his 16-year-old son tried to commit suicide. He hung himself. And I remember the day that my coworker came in. It was like the weekend after it happened, and he was devastated. He was completely devastated. And I was like, dude, what happened? He's like, well, you know, my son, he was really getting into music, and he started listening to this music that was really dark. And he's like, but, you know, I didn't think much of it, but it just he slowly changed over a few months, and he got darker and darker and darker until this happened, because that's what the enemy does. He influences us through the things that we put in us. He influences us. Don't tell me, do not tell me that when you're scrolling through Instagram and you're looking at reels, that those videos don't influence your humor. They don't influence what you're listening to, what you're looking at. The algorithms learn. Well, Instagram is great at learning what your weakness is. It's great at learning what your struggles are. It's great at putting something on you and in you that changes you, and it makes you want to be something else than what God made you. And music does that. Music is a huge part of that. And so we're either going to put in that music that draws us from the Lord and changes us, or we're gonna put into our minds and our hearts music that glorifies God and lifts us up. But either way, music is a weapon. Make no mistake, it's not just entertainment. Music is a weapon. And just like we saw through these few examples in the Old Testament, music can bring victory. Music can bring a tangible, real victory, because songs and instruments and praise are a real weapon against the enemy. Songs, instruments, and praise are a real weapon against the enemy. And so we know that we were made in order to relate to God and to edify one another through song. We know that expressions of praise and worship and music and singing are weapons against our unseen enemy. But I want to come back to another idea, that God loves it, and it's what He desires from us. Music isn't something we do for us all the time, although it blesses us. Music is something that God desires. And here's how I know. I did a little word search. And if you talk about singing or song or songs or anything like that, it occurs over 200 times in the Bible from beginning to end. Over 200 times. If you look up, what was that one that I said? If you look up verses that relate to the prohibition on drinking, there's only like 20 in the Bible. It's a tenfold difference. God desires our worship so much more than He desires us not to drink, if we're just using statistics, which I know. Mike, you can make statistics say anything. I know. I lived through COVID also. I know statistics can mean anything. But if you're just taking the verses, there's an emphasis. There is an emphasis on song. There's an emphasis on worship. There's an emphasis on music. In Psalms, dude, you guys, I was looking, trying to find like the perfect psalm, and there's a million of them. So this might not be the best one, and you might be thinking, oh, this other one's much better. But this is the one I found, so I'm just going to read it to you. I rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. That's amazing. That's a call to worship the Lord. And the call to worship the Lord isn't for David and his musicians. The call to worship the Lord extends to all of us. We are all called. Check this out. I learned this like last week, and this blew my mind. In 2 Chronicles 23, 1-5, it says, of the Levites and priests who were tasked with looking after the house of the Lord and fulfilling priestly duties before the Lord, 4,000 were allotted to play instruments that David had made. David made them. What a maniac. Like, what else was he doing? Just making $4,000. You have to make, if you made one a day, how many years is that? Someone do the math. 4,000 divided by 3. I'll do the math. I got a calculator. 4,000 divided by 365. That's 11 years with no holidays, no days off. 11 years of making instruments. I think the idea there is that it's a lifetime of making instruments. This happened as David, this particular portion of scriptures, when David is handing the kingdom over to Saul. So it's towards the end of his life. But he allotted 4,000 musicians to play before the Lord and to serve in the priestly duties and to minister to God and to the people of Israel. It's not a small thing. Now, that's not the largest number that was allotted out of the Levites and the priests, but it's not a small thing because it's what God desires. God has desired that from his people. God has desired that from David. He desires it from us. And you see God's attitude a lot in the Bible about worship. I'm going to share with you a quick story that most of us might be familiar with, but maybe you're not. It's dug in there. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13 through 15. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all of the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. I don't know what that means to you guys, but I don't think I've ever danced with all my might in my life. I'm not a dancer. That's why I like to play guitar, because I can do that. I can hide behind it. But David was dancing with all his might, and they were blowing trumpets before the Lord. And so the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's presence on earth and in Israel. It's a symbol. That's why it's put in the most holy place, and the cloud would descend upon it on the Day of Atonement when they would do that sacrifice to atone for the sins of all the congregation of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of God's presence. And so if we're looking at these symbols in the Old Testament pointing to the New Testament, we see that the singing and dancing and playing ushered in the presence of the Lord into Israel. And that ushers in the presence of the Lord to us today. There's a reason why most churches do worship before the message. It's because it ushers in the presence of the Lord. Well, Michael, isn't the presence of the Lord everywhere at all times? Yes, it is. But we're not always aware of it. We're not always tuned into it. We're not always connected to it. Are we connected to the presence of the Lord when we're fighting with our spouses? Are we connected to the presence of the Lord when we're saying things that shouldn't be said? When we're watching things that shouldn't be watched? Are we connected? No, we're not. So what connects us? What ushers in the presence of the Lord? It's when we stop with our lives for a moment and we sing and connect to God. It ushers in the presence of the Lord. How does God feel about this? How does God feel about this? This is how he feels about it. In verse 20, this is a few verses later, David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, and try to hear the sarcasm here. How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself in the eyes of the maids of his servants, and as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And so David said to her, the craziest clapback in the history of the Old Testament, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you've spoken, by them I will be held in honor. And then check this out. This is where it gets crazy. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children till the day of her death. The Lord heard it, and he didn't think that that was a good thing. What was she criticizing? Was she criticizing the worship, or was she criticizing the way the worship was happening? That's a crazy question. Because what was David doing? He was doing what we all makes us all uncomfortable. He was dancing with all of his might before the Lord. What if we did that on a Sunday morning? All right, guys, let's dance with all our might. We'd be like, oh, you know, like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that's going to look. But if you guys have been in a service, I was in a service when I was younger, when I was in high school, and a guy came to visit our church, and this was at Calvary San Jose. It's a big church. I was sitting up in the balcony, and he was in the back of the balcony where you could only see him if you were kind of by him, and he was dancing during worship, and he was singing and dancing. And I thought to myself, in my heart, and I'm being 100% transparent and honest with you guys, I thought, what a weirdo. I don't know about this guy. I don't even know if he's saved. Like, that's where my heart was. I'm just being honest. That's where my heart was. It's not there now. Now I look back and I'm like, dude, that guy was beautiful. That was a beautiful man, because he was giving everything he had to the Lord. He was giving his he was not just giving his song. He was giving his self-confidence. He was giving up his sense of self. He was willing to be perceived as being shameful in the presence of the Lord. He was giving that up. He was giving up his ability to blend in. He was giving up his ability to fit in. And he was offering the Lord what God wanted in that moment. And as me, as an onlooker, I'm sitting here like, that makes me uncomfortable. And I was so concerned about myself. This guy wasn't even looking at me. He was like over here. And I'm thinking about myself because of what that guy was doing. And I think David's wife was thinking of herself when she saw what David was doing. Because David wasn't thinking about her. He wasn't thinking about people. He was thinking about the amazing thing that was taking place, which is that the presence of the Lord was coming back to Israel. And he was giving God glory with everything he had, his whole body. And that is amazing, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And, you know, we sing songs. You know, we sing songs that are well known. I try to pick songs that are well known. Some of them are lesser known, but I love them, and so you got to sing them with me. And that's, not, you know, that's just how it is. But when we sing these songs, there's always kind of that temptation to hands in the pockets, just kind of, never been anyone like you, never been you, you know, you just kind of hum and just kind of just bear with it for a moment. Bear with it through, because it's not that exciting. Or there's the temptation to wait in the lobby and then just kind of mosey on in the moment. And I don't see any of you. It's dark in the room and there's lights in my face. So I'm not picking on anyone that I saw. Although if that's you, you better feel it, you know. But there's always that temptation. But singing before the Lord, we shouldn't sacrifice that. We shouldn't leave that out. Because what good is reading, hearing the word, and not being connected to the Spirit? What good is hearing the word and not having it be, not penetrating your heart, your soul? You could put the Bible on audio and listen to it all night long, and when you wake up, you probably won't have any idea what you listen to. And that's kind of what we do sometimes when we're not connected to God's presence. We're just listening to words. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty. If we're all being honest, we're all guilty of it at some point or another. But then we're just wasting our time. Song is not just song. It's our connection to the Lord. And I want to come back to Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Not as fools, but as wise. That's what I want. I want us to walk as wise people. And the wisdom of God is foolishness to men. And sometimes it looks like foolishness. But God does something. You see, we don't worship the Lord for us. We don't worship the Lord for us. We worship Him for Him. We declare who He is, what He's done for us, what He's going to do for us. We declare what He's doing in our lives. When we worship, we are lifting up the name of Jesus. It's a ministry to God. It's a ministry to God, to Jesus. That's what worship is. But God, in His infinite grace and mercy, decides to minister to us through it. It's not for us. It's for Him. But He's so good that He can't not bless us. And so He chooses to bless us in that time of worship. And here's the thing, is worship is not passive. Worship is participatory. You have to participate. You have to participate in worship. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, that sounds self-serving because you're the worship leader. It's not self-serving. You guys aren't that good. You know? I'm just kidding. You're amazing. But don't think of it as serving me. It doesn't affect me. I'm worshiping no matter what. I'm worshiping no matter what. But if you are not, you're missing out. You are missing out. You're missing out on what God desires from you, on offering God what He desires from you, and you're missing out on what He gives you in return, which is His presence, meeting you here, meeting you here. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, singing in trials and singing through things that are hard where you can get victory. And you know, those things are all true, and those are things that are good for us. But when we're here in church, what I really want to hammer home is participate with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Participate in what God's doing. Participate in bringing the presence of God here and connecting with God the Holy Spirit here, connecting with God the Father here, connecting with God the Son here with us together. It edifies the body of Christ, and it's what He has asked of us. I wish I was like David. David played instruments. He made instruments. David danced before the Lord unashamed. Man, I wish I was like David. I want to be like David so bad, you guys. I want to be like him so bad. The thing that he is most known for is the Psalms, right? That's the thing he's most known for. When people are going through a rough time, what do they read? They read the Psalms. The Psalms are encouraging. The Psalms are life-giving. The Psalms are beautiful. The poetry and the image is beautiful. But at some time, David was just sitting there and saying, what could I say about the Lord? What has the Lord done for me? And he's just writing it out and making it into a song. And that was beautiful. It's how he connected to the Lord. And so, you know, we're gonna take communion here in a few minutes and have a little bit more worship. And I really want to reflect on this and think about this. What are we offering to the Lord? Are we offering our best, our first fruits? Are we connecting with Him? Are we using all the tools in our tool belt? Are we using all the weapons at our disposal? Or are we just barely here? Because I got to tell you, sometimes I'm just barely there. I'm just barely here. My wife knows. She'd be like, you want to pray about that? And I'm like, no, but I will, you know. And just barely there. But I want you guys to connect and see what I have connected and seen. To feel what I felt. To hear that voice of the Lord that I've heard. In worship, to connect to the Lord in that way, to connect to the words of a song and take those words and sing them as a prayer, man, you guys, it's powerful. And it can do things in you if you let God in. If you give that honest praise and stop thinking about what you sound like, stop thinking about what you look like, because if anyone makes fun of you, the Lord's going to curse them. I'm just kidding. But to stop being so self-conscious, because it's not between you and me. It's not between you and Pastor Tim. It's not between you and your neighbor. It's not between you and the person sitting next to you. It's just between you and the Lord. And there's not a sound you can make that's in praise to Him that He wouldn't like. There's not a squeak or a off note that He doesn't still find beautiful, because He loves you. He loves you. Let me tell you this. He loves you more than you love you. He loves you more than your mom loves you, more than your dad, more than your kids love you, more than you love your kids. He loves you even more. And we want to connect to that. And so if I could leave you with just one thing, I would want to leave you with this. Sing to the Lord. That's it. That's what my whole message is about, is just singing to the Lord. Before we move on, I promised I would do this and I forgot. With singing to the Lord, there's certain times, there's that scripture we talked about where David played before Saul, and he was just playing his instrument, and that was enough to drive out the spirit. That was enough to bring victory in that situation, and Saul kept bringing him back. He kept doing it and playing. He was a beautiful instrumentalist, and that brought the presence of the Lord to that moment. And so one thing that here at Calvary Fremont, we don't have a lot of instrumental people. That's why our band is sometimes full, sometimes not. We don't have a lot of people. My heart, more than just being able to share this with you guys on Sunday morning, is I want to disciple people in worship. That's what I want to do. It's my mission. My mission and vision and goal in the worship ministry at Calvary Chapel Fremont is to raise up worshipers and worship leaders. That's what I want more than anything. And you might say, well, I don't play instruments or guitar. Well, that's the great thing, is that worship isn't contained to singing or music. Because when they were bringing the ark in, not everyone held an instrument. Some people held the ark. Some people held the flags. Some people just kept people back so there's enough room, and it was all part of that procession. And it's what our needs here, and where worship discipleship, it's not just about the musical aspect, it's about bringing an environment to Sunday morning and to the church and to our lives that brings the presence. And so that includes running the sound. It includes doing the lyrics, because it's awesome when the lyrics hit right on, huh? And you're just like, yeah, I don't even have to think about it. Well, that's what I'm thinking. But then when they're off, you're like, what the? That's the wrong word. Now I can't sing, you know, or whatever it is. Lights, so that the lights aren't distracting. All these things, you know, we have a limited amount of volunteers, and we really want to see more people come and serve. If you come in, you're not going to be roped in every week. You know, it's not a major commitment, but it's a need that we have in the church. It's a need that we have here. We also have a need. I want there to be two or three worship bands at our church. I really do. I don't want to be the only guy, and I want to help raise people up. And if that's something that you're interested in, if you're saying, I am interested in that, I do think I might want to be a part of that, talk to me or anyone who's on the team, whether that's behind in the tech booth or up here, whoever you feel comfortable with, and we'll get you in the right direction. You are not required to be a professional singer, a professional musician, or anything. A willing heart is enough. And so we can help train you, we can help grow you, but our heart is not just the music. It's to develop and disciple worshipers, to grow in worship. That's what we want to do here. And at the Calvary Fremont Worship Team, is we want to grow worshipers. And so if you're interested, please see one of us, because it's not just about the music. It's about our heart and what we're offering to the Lord. That being said, as believers, we sing. As believers, we praise. As believers, we engage with the Lord. As believers, we engage with the Lord. So, Father, we want to be people who engage with you. Father, we want to be people who love you. We want to worship you the way you want to be worshiped, God. We want to serve you the way you want to be served. Father, we want to connect to you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we sing these last few songs, as we take communion, as we come up and receive prayer, Father, that you would come and meet us here. And for the hearts that are skeptical and the hearts that are like, I don't know, Lord, would you meet them? God, would you come and meet us in this place? Father, would you come and make your presence known? Would you come and fill this place, fill our hearts, God? Lord, we're so thankful. You have paid it all. You have come down and been the sacrifice for our sin, the sacrifice for our shame. Lord, we don't need it anymore because of what you did on the cross. And God, we want to lift you up. We want your name to be famous. We want people to know that Jesus is Lord. We want people to know that Jesus is Savior. We want people to know that God is good. And so, Lord, would we be those people? Lord, stir worship up in us. Stir song up in us. Stir musicianship up in us. Stir excellence in us, God. Help us to connect to you, Lord. And our enemies might look bigger than us. They might look greater than us. There might be more of them than us. But God, we will praise you anyways. And we will watch the enemy be dismantled piece by piece in front of us because you dwell in our praise. You dwell in our praise. And your presence is brought in through our praise and through our worship. So, Father, would you come and dwell with us, Lord? We invite you, God, to come and dwell in us and dwell with us. Lord, would you minister to us as we minister to your heart? And I just want to, as the worship team comes up, this might be a struggle for some of us, this idea of worship, this idea of praise. This idea of singing, it might be uncomfortable. And if you would like to receive prayer about that, or if there's some type of roadblock there and you want to receive prayer for it, I encourage you to come and receive prayer. And that might sound like a silly prayer request, but it really isn't. Their prayer request to not be self-conscious, their prayer request to be able to honor the Lord, their prayer request to connect to God, to hear His voice, to see Him in your life, that's a good thing. And if you would like to receive prayer for that, there's going to be some elders up here. Charlotte will be up here to receive prayer for that. We want you guys to be free in your worship. We want you guys to worship freely and honor the Lord as He has called you and He wants you, as the Spirit leads you to worship Him. And so if you would like to receive prayer for that, there's prayer up here. If you need prayer for other things, for healing, for deliverance, for anything like that, there's prayer up here for you. There's prayer up here for you. So God, move in us. Move in our body. We love you, Jesus.